In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
We're talking movies. Alan Adams from The Main Edge joins us here in studio. First of all, let's talk about opening weekend of Hockey Mom at Penobscot Theater. All went very well, I heard.
It was a good weekend. We had our previews Thursday and Friday night. We had our official opening on Saturday, and then a lovely matinee showing yesterday. It's being very well received. People seem to be really resonating with people, and we're just out there. We're having a good time. It's been a trip for sure, and it's really nice to have it sort of up on its feet. We're running through April 16th, so plenty of time to get out there and come check it out. So hopefully we'll see a bunch of people come by and see what we're doing.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about last night. The 94th Oscars.
Yeah, I went to bed at like 10:15. Did something happen?
No, it was pretty quiet. I've watched this every year since I don't even want to remember. It was not one of my favorite broadcasts, even without all the Will Smith, Chris Rock nonsense. You know, when will they learn? The whole host thing is so highly overrated. I mean, in my lifetime of watching the Oscars, there have been maybe three decent hosts. Billy Crystal, when he was on top of his game. Bob Hope for a while back in the day. And probably somebody I forgot, but I don't watch for the hosts.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the thing. And it's, you would think that, you know, with the Academy being so apparently beholden to trying to cultivate this younger audience for the broadcast, which is actively stupid, by the way. It's a stupid plan of attack. But if that's what you're doing, why stick with the, let's admit it, old-fashioned notion of having to have some sort of, like, MC or host for this sort of program? You don't need it. And I respect all three of those women as performers.
Yes.
I think they were all kind of out of their element. There were a couple of bits that landed. I've seen worse hosting jobs. But, I mean, the truth is, like, you didn't need one. You certainly didn't need three.
No.
Particularly when you're ostensibly trying to shorten the broadcast, which is something we can talk about here in a minute. An honest effort was put forth by, Regina Hall and Wanda Sykes and Amy Schumer. Like, they all did their best, but those bits, like, they're a coin flip under the best of circumstances.
Right.
And when you try to fold in all the other nonsense, both planned and unplanned, that went on during the ceremony, like, it's just, I don't know. Like, do I really want to see, Amy Schumer dangle from the ceiling in a Spider-Man costume for 3 minutes instead of, you know, being able to hear the speech of, you know, the dude who made the best documentary short and basically had to have the culmination of their entire career happen in front of, a two-thirds empty auditorium because they decided to cut out these awards to shorten the ceremony, which I timed it at about 3 hours 40. So
yeah, it was several minutes longer than last year.
Yeah, you know,
and this is the conundrum I guess they face. But I to me, it's not one. The Oscars are for movie people and for movie lovers, and the people who watch the Oscars, by and large, are the people who want to see all of the creative artists honored. That's why I watch. I don't want to just see the actors. I want to see the whole thing. Give me more awards and less of the nonsense, less of the shtick, less of the pre-produced packages.
Well, I mean, like, it's frankly infuriating for someone who, like myself, who does, you know, appreciates the degree of craft that goes into movie making. You know, it's not just about the people who are standing in front of the cameras, and it's not just about the people pointing those cameras at them. Like, it's... It takes an army to make a mm-hmm. movie, particularly a good movie, and to have some of those incredibly valuable contributors sort of shunted aside so we can get some sort of nonsense montage about cheer moments or something. It was like,
oh, that was awful.
The, just that staggeringly stupid, and then the whatever the fan vote nonsense was as well. It's like, don't ask the internet anything. Don't ask the internet a question, because you're not going to like the answer.
No.
And it's just going to wind up making everybody feel just a little bit dumber. And that's what these sort of like those little like pre-recorded packages or whatever, that's what they did. They added nothing. They were filler for a broadcast that, again, you claimed you wanted to remove the filler from.
And then, even with the best of intentions, they screwed it up. You honor the Bond franchise 60th anniversary. There are a bunch of living actors who have played the role of James Bond, but you bring out, Tony Hawk and Sean White, huh?
Yes, a skateboarder, a surfer, and a snowboarder. Like, that totally makes sense for James Bond. It's just...
And then, same thing with The Godfather, you bring out Francis Ford Coppola, De Niro, and Pacino, but you don't let De Niro and Pacino speak.
Did I see something today where Pacino like forgot the Oscars were on Sunday? we all stand our king. It's so like wrongheaded in so many ways, this broadcast, simply because you're trying. It's by trying to fix it, you're just making it worse.
Yes, yeah.
And
what was up with the In Memoriam segment?
With the
dancing, like, why am I tapping my feet to dead people who, by the way, whose pictures I can't see because folks are dancing in front of them?
It's so funny because, again, so much of this stuff is going to get sort of swept away by the slapping elephant in the room. In any other year, there were three or four things in this broadcast that would be like just that would be getting absolutely savaged on Twitter and the other social media platforms right now, and nobody's talking about them because Will Smith straight up slapped Chris Rock across the face, which again, I don't know when we're going to stop talking about it. I'm already kind of sick of it, yeah. but I anticipate we're going to be hearing about it for a long time to come.
Well, I know, like most people watching it, I, what's going on? There was, they cut out, obviously. They used the delay, and so there was a little glitch in the video. The audio went silent for a while, so you weren't quite sure what happened, but I thought, and we were talking before we came on here, it became pretty obvious to me when Chris Rock regained his composure that something was really wrong, because he stumbled his way through the nominees for Best Documentary.
Right. I mean, I think, most people, initially were like, oh, this is a bit. Okay, sure. He straight up struck him, and you're like, okay, that's an odd choice for a bit. Let's see where this goes. And then I think the big one for me was when they cut to the audience, the reaction shot of Will Smith, no audio yet, but it was very clear what he was saying.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And it's just like, and it's
right,
like,
it didn't take Marley Matlin to figure that out.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, that is very real. What is being said right there. And you're just like, oh, okay. And I'll grant there is additional context to the situation, but ultimately it boils down to the fact that, you know what, maybe don't physically assault someone in front of 50 million people.
Right. And in any other setting, you'd have been hauled out of there.
Yeah.
And as I was saying to Carrie earlier, it just shows how out of touch and how insular that whole group is, that they allowed that guy to stay around, and then many people stood up and clapped for him moments later.
Yeah. And it's really and again, this is all it's his own fault. Like, his bed, he made his own bed. He will lie in it. But it is a shame, because there were so many people, and I was one of them, who were just so amped to celebrate this moment with him. And that feeling's gone. And I don't think it's ever coming back. You know, like, it's this is the sort of thing that fundamentally alters the way you are viewed by people.
Right. He flushed his own image down the toilet, and it'll never be the same.
No, it won't. And I don't know.
And ironically, on what should have been the greatest night of his career.
And that's the thing. You know, it's something he's been aspiring to for literally decades. This is, and he's 20 minutes away, and this is what happens. And it's just, Like, you know, there's a part of you that feels bad. But again, as I said, like, you know, these are, you know, there won't be probably, you know, appropriate consequences for those actions, but there will be consequences. Mm. And, you know, that's the nature of it. Unfortunately, it's overshadowed a lot of really wonderful accomplishments.
And I felt bad for everybody who got an award after that, because, man, you could feel it on TV. The vibe in that room was absolutely gutted for the rest of the night.
Yeah, no, the energy was so, it was just a pall over everything. And, you know, and you mentioned it, like, I think I feel probably worst of all for Questlove, because he had to immediately follow that. So the recognition for, again, just an absolutely incredible piece of work is it's colored, and there's no way to move past that. There's no way to disentangle those moments. Like, they are forever entwined, and that's not fair to him, because it's a wonderful piece of documentary filmmaking it's the first thing everyone's going to think of when they think about that movie. Like, or when they think about the fact that that movie is award winning. It's just, it's a shame. There are a lot of things that were a shame about last night.
Yeah. Now, there were some positives. We're talking with Alan Adams of The Main Edge. The supporting actors went pretty much as everybody, including you, expected them to go, but they also led to two of the most impressive acceptance speeches we've seen in recent Oscar memory.
Yeah. It was really I was not expecting us to hit the ground running the way we did with Ariana DeBose's speech. She came hard. You know what I mean? And was very honest. Granted, should that speech, the first award speech of the night, happened, you know, maybe in the first 10 minutes of the broadcast, as opposed to at like 8:45 or whenever it actually happened. Yes, like, absolutely. But when she was up there, it was just so beautiful and from the heart and truthful. And, that's the sort of thing that you want from these. That's why we watch these things. You know, we want these people to have this platform and to be able to use that platform to make the statements they want to make. Much like Troy Kotsur did a wonderful work from his interpreter.
When the interpreter choked up telling the story about Troy Kotsur's father, my God.
Yes, and a clearly delighted audience for Troy Kotsur's win.
Yeah.
Like everyone applauded in the traditional ASL manner. And it was clearly the reward for someone whose work has garnered a great deal of respect from his peers. And I don't think deaf and hard of hearing actors necessarily always receive that sort of respect. And so for him to be recognized for the work that he did in this film, I think is a big deal. And for him to be able to receive that award in his own way, I think also a big deal. Yeah. And hopefully we can only hope that that sort of inclusion continues forward as we move into the years to come.
Now, you told us last week you thought Will Smith would win, and I think you said you believed Jessica Chastain would be the victor and was. Have you seen Eyes of Tammy Faye?
I haven't, you know, and I don't really know anyone who has.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Because it's on one of the, I think it's on HBO.
Yeah.
It's good. She's great, but it's a makeup role. You know, there's a lot of that, and frankly, and this is what acting is all about. You're only as good as your scene partner. Without the incredible work of Andrew Garfield in that movie as Jim Baker, I don't know that she would have been able to shine as much. She's very good, and I didn't see all the movies. I thought Nicole Kidman was stronger in playing Lucille Ball.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, I mean, like I said, I haven't seen the film. I can't speak to it, but it was pretty clear from all the sort of precursor awards and whatnot that Chastain had a very good shot at this. And the truth is, the Academy has wanted to give her one for a while.
Right.
You know, sometimes, well, and we see, I mean, we've seen it many times over the years. You know, sometimes the Academy misses on the one that you're supposed to get. And so you get a makeup call
right
down the road. And I feel like this might be a little bit of that for her. But again, the reality was that the best actress category this year was so wide open in so many in so many ways that it was, you know, it really was anybody's race. And if you were, you know, if you're in that situation, well, you know, why not vote for the person who, you know, whose work you have admired over the years doesn't have one of these yet. So let's get her one.
Right. Good to see Jane Campion win, as you thought would happen.
Yep, I was pretty sure that was how it was going to play out. Just because The Power of the Dog is such a just a masterful piece of visual filmmaking. Like, it's just so captivating, you know, so stark, so you know, both in terms of the aesthetic and in terms of the performances that she was able to elicit from her central cast. A really a wonderful bit of work all around from her. Although, again, the truth is, you know, that was a category that you could have probably doubled the nominees in that category this year mm-hmm. and been okay. Like, there were a lot of really strong directorial turns this year, including one by all accounts, one by the film that eventually won Best Picture but was not nominated at all
right.
for Best Director.
Yeah,
it's interesting. We can. I was telling you off air. In my overall picks, I wound up going 19 for 23.
Nothing wrong with that.
Which is pretty good.
So we know you missed out on Best Picture. What were the others you missed?
I missed out on Best Animated Short. Which those are always sort of
a tough one,
guessing game. And I whiffed on both screenplay categories.
Belfast was a bit of a surprise.
Well, it's funny because Belfast won for basically this all the same reasons that I thought Licorice Pizza was going to win, it was Branagh's been that was his eighth nomination. He'd never won,
which surprised me.
That surprised me too. Like, I just sort of assumed that he had one or two of these, and he didn't. And so the whole reason, like, one of my primary reasons for opting for Paul Thomas Anderson and Licorice Pizza was the film community loves him. He doesn't have one of these yet. An original screenplay is where these sorts of movies often get rewarded, all those arguments can just be transferred directly over to Branagh and Belfast. Right. I didn't see that coming at all.
And who did you pick for adapted screenplay?
I picked Campion for Power of the Dog. I did not anticipate that they would go 1 for 12 in their wins versus nominations. I figured that was a spot where they would win. But honestly, like, you know, they wanted to give it to Coda. Like, I got no problem with that. It seemed like it was another really celebratory moment in an evening that frankly didn't have enough of them, and so it was nice that we at least had these periodic moments of joy interspersed into a ceremony that somehow became even more bloated despite all these cuts. And then again, I went with Power of the Dog for Best Picture. I'm not gonna argue Coda. I was, you know, these people who are trying to be like, oh, it's the worst Best Picture winner since Crash. Come on. Like, did you not see Green Book? Like, maybe it's not the quote unquote best movie of the year. Like, that's the whole point of these. Like, it's subjective. Like, right. It's, you know, and I think it's probably benefited greatly, maybe more than any movie we have had since it started. From the preferential ballot. Like, I think it's the sort of film that that probably landed on a lot of ballots in second place or third place, whereas a more polarizing offering like Power of the Dog, like, a lot of people love that movie, but a not insignificant number of people hated it. And so, like...
Well, so let me ask you this. Of this year's, just of the films that were nominated for Best Picture, what are the films that people will still be talking about and still be watching out of this year's group 10, 20 years down the road?
Yeah. See, that's always the question, isn't it? Like, it's the Oscars have this tendency to be an in the moment sort of thing that are built, you know, the awards basically hinge on, you know, momentum built up over, you know, a 6 week or 2 month period. And you never know what's going to have staying power and what's not. I think Coda has a shot at being that sort of movie, simply because of the, I think the subject matter will keep it relevant, in a way that, maybe some of these other films, don't.
I think Licorice Pizza is one that people will continue to watch.
Well, it's like people love hangout movies, yeah. And that's kind of what, like, it's very much a vibe, and you just sort of sit and you just hang out with these characters for 2 hours, and it's lovely. And I think that will prove to be something that's a lot of fun for people to watch down the road, particularly as PTA continues to build his filmography. I think it's going to become a pretty essential part of that experience. God, we haven't even, I mean, we didn't even really talk about Dune.
Right, which was really the night's big winner when it came to the most trophies.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, and I mean, I think I mentioned this in my preview. I figured it was a lock for 4 or 5. I actually did pick it for all 6 of its wins. And it's, I mean, it is a triumph of technical filmmaking. And it all boils down to how quickly the technology advances going forward, because you know, if there are some great tech leaps in the next few years, like, maybe this movie starts to look a little dated, but as it stands right now, it is a stunning film to look at. And with part 2 scheduled to land I believe next year, not this year, I think that's the one where we're gonna see it have a much larger chance at the big awards. And I think I will be stunned if, like, someone like Villeneuve doesn't get actively rewarded. And it's going to be, I think it'll probably be treated as a package deal, like part 1 and part 2. This is sort of recognizing both of them. But the truth is, like, half a dozen Oscars, that's a pretty good haul a night. And it's a recognition of the incredible craft work that needed to go in, to people, making, this film. Like, big shout out to Hans Zimmer, who basically invented new musical instruments so he could make the score for this movie. Like,
and that was his first Oscar, right?
A second, I think.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, but he, like, his first one in like 30 years.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, and that happened on a stage in an empty auditorium. And yeah, that's just ridiculous. Right. It's just ridiculous. One other thing I wanted to make mention of, it was a moment that was, kind of heartbreaking, but also sort of affirming, was the Best Picture presentation with Lady Gaga and Liza Minnelli, who is clearly having some sort of real significant health issues. I was unaware that she was dealing with.
Right. I said this. I mean, she came out. I said, Abby, why is she in a wheelchair?
Yeah.
No idea.
But it just, it's one of those things where you have to be able to acknowledge when a first impression is the wrong one. I was not a big believer in Lady Gaga when she first hit the scene. Like, right, seemed like, you know, a provocateur for the sake of provocation, and this, like, very talented musician musically, but like the shtick, it wasn't for me. And then as we've watched her sort of mature in the public eye, we're watching this person who bridges the gap between today's Hollywood and, you know, the performers of, you know, entertainment past in a way that is cleaner and more empathetic than I think anyone.
Well, yeah, and clearly that respect, and that desire to see a Tony Bennett, Liza Minnelli recognized and celebrated is incredibly sincere.
Yes, it's coming from a very real place, and the moment that I think that resonated with a lot of people was that moment where Liza was clearly struggling to see the teleprompter, wasn't sure what what the circumstances were, and you could hear, you heard it on the audio. It's just, and you just hear Lady Gaga take her hand, lean over and say, "I got you." Yeah. You know, and it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and it went a long way towards, I think, helping wash the taste of the previous hour out of the mouths of a lot of the people who were there. Again, we all know what this Oscars is going to be remembered for. You know, we should try our best to remember that, you know, God knows it was certainly, there was certainly a lot more of it than that, you know, 2 minute period or whatever. you know, and there was a lot of good in there as well.
And, and it was a good year for movies.
Yes. You know, there was a lot of great work being done, by a lot of really talented people. And we should do our best to make sure that to not let their accomplishments be tainted by a heated action or two in a moment of weakness.
Alan Adams talking Oscars with us. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
We'll see you on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.